The title of my message this morning is I Have a Dream. And in the midst of thinking about dreaming and hoping and visioning and so forth, whether it's for ourselves or our families, a business we may own, or even as a church, I can't help but think about technology and all that's been going on with technology of late. It's just, you can't even keep up with it. And so I was thinking of this. Tesla now has a car floating out in space. Could you imagine an extraterrestrial being flying by in their spaceship and seeing this guy driving through the universe in a Tesla automobile? Who would ever think as a kid, myself, growing up where the thought of going to the moon or even exploring the most outer limits of our solar system was so far out of reach. And today, there's an image like this outside of the Earth's atmosphere, a Tesla automobile with an astronaut in it. Of course, he's not real. I hope not anyway. We've made incredible medical advances today that every single day it seems like there's a new discovery, and I thank God for that. Computer science, they say the minute you buy a computer and you leave Best Buy, a new model has already taken its place. So there's so much going on in the technical world, it becomes difficult to distinguish fantasy from reality. Now, for most people, just last year, this would be a fantasy, a Tesla vehicle floating out in space, but it has become a reality. Kids are walking around with watches that are TV sets today. So teachers have to be careful. The kids are not checking their time, they're watching MTV, actually. Is MTV still on? Computerized kitchens now. You could program your breakfast so that it's prepared before you even get up in the morning to brush your teeth. That's what technology is doing today. Google cars now are programmed where you don't even need a driver. You put in Myrtle Beach, jump in the back seat, and go to sleep, and it gets you there. It's just mind-boggling. Fantasy versus reality. In many ways, I want to tell you that society, if you listen to some of the interviews of people on the street, people can't even distinguish fantasy from reality when they're talking about the personhood of Jesus Christ. I've seen interviews where people have been stopped on the street and asked, who is Jesus? And they consider him a mythical figure, that he never lived. It's not real. It was made up in the mind of an individual and put on paper, and therefore Jesus is a mythical figure. It's fantasy. It's not reality. And I must say, sadly, many of the institutions of higher learning today are teaching the same thing. My philosophy professor, Dr. Kelly, I remember to this day, and it's like a million years ago, he was a proud atheist. And he made all of his students know that. And when I stood up and said, God is real, he said, prove it. And just at that time, a briefcase, remember the hard briefcases back then? That, you know, it looked like the football that the president carries around with nuclear codes in it. There was one on the back wall, and it slipped, and it slapped the floor of the classroom. And I said, you see? And he says, you're ridiculous. He says, Charles, it's the law of gravity that caused that. But he took great pride in denying that there was a God, that there was a Jesus Christ. During the season of Lent, we take a deep look into our faith. This is my favorite season in all of the church year. Because for actually 46 days, because we don't count the Sundays, from Ash Wednesday to Easter morning, it gives us an opportunity to prepare ourselves for the resurrection, to prepare ourselves for Holy Week, to examine ourselves. Where are we with God? Is God real in our life or not? You know, Jesus was more than just an ethical leader that so many people, if they do believe he existed, they say he was just a nice guy who told people, love each other and don't kick a stray dog. But he's bigger than that, my friends. I think we want a real Jesus. I think we want an authentic Jesus. I believe we want a flesh and blood Jesus, someone who's real. But with that desire comes a real challenge. And if we want to get real about our faith as we begin this journey together of Lent, then perhaps this morning's message is tailored just for you and me. To begin to get serious about our faith in Jesus Christ, there are a few things we first must understand about Jesus. And by the way, confirmation class, this is what we're going to be talking about. So take notes now. When we go into the youth room and do your lesson, we're going to be talking about the person of Jesus Christ, the second person in the Trinity. And it comes out of this tremendous miracle that takes place where Jesus transforms water into wine. An incredible miracle. So the first thing we need to see is that, by the way, I failed to mention this, but Bill Moyers, he wrote a book called Genesis, and he's a respected journalist, and he writes in this book that Satan is a fantasy. He's not real. And that's exactly what Satan wants us to believe, that he's not real. But I can tell you, he is. Trust me on that. But Jesus is willing to be part of our reality. That's the first thing I want you to see this morning. Jesus is willing to be part of our reality. Look what happens here in this miracle. Jesus is invited to a wedding reception in this lovely town. By the way, in this town, my wife and I renewed our 25th anniversary wedding vows. And next week, we're going back there, and now we're going to renew our 50th anniversary wedding vows. I hope we could do our 75th, honey. I don't know. Let me check my pulse here. Yeah, I think we can do it. But it's a beautiful little town, and for those of you traveling with us this coming week when we go to Israel, we will go to Cana, and we will see this lovely town where this miracle took place. And the occasion was no different than any wedding reception that you've ever been to, and I'm sure most of you have been to a wedding reception. The wedding took place, you go to the reception hall, there's a lot of partying and dancing, and you got either a DJ or a group playing the music, and everybody is feeling real good, and they're enjoying themselves. Same thing in this wedding feast. And by the way, I believe a wedding feast in Jesus' time lasted 7 days. Could you imagine that when you got married? 7 day reception. All right. But I can tell you that Jesus himself was enjoying this wedding because obviously these individuals that got married were friends of his and Mary and the family. And then his mother asked him to do a favor because his friends were in trouble. What happened? They ran out of wine. She says, "You got to help." And he says, "Listen, it's not my time. Not yet. I don't want to reveal who I am." But he does the miracle anyway. And I want to tell you something. He took the chance of calling attention to himself by doing that miracle. He wanted to become part of their reality at that banquet, to become an integral part of that situation at hand in that village of Cana 2,000 years ago. And I want to tell you something. He wants to become part of our reality as well. Hear what I have to say this morning. He wants to be part of our lives as well. When we have to pay our bills and there's not enough money at the end of the week, when we're caring for a sick loved one and we're worn out and we're tired, but we love them so much that we refuse to give up. He's there on our job. He's there when we're raising our children. He's there even if we're living alone and sometimes life seems so lonely. Jesus wants to be part of that reality as well. Because you see, the point of this miracle is not if you believe tomorrow your water will always turn into wine and your troubles would be over. That's not what the point is in this message. The point is when push comes to shove in our lives, and it always does, when those hard places come against us and we're stuck between a rock and a hard place, Jesus will not cut and run from our lives, but he will make himself real in the midst of that challenge. Do you believe that? He'll be there for us. He will be there for us in the midst of our reality. The real challenge is letting him into our reality. Instead of running in 5, 6 different directions, calling everybody up, trying to figure out what Dr. Phil has to say about it, to give it over to Jesus Christ. Jesus offers us wholeness in the midst of our struggles and our brokenness. And just as Jesus became part of the reality of those folks at that banquet, he wants to become part of our reality today in February of 2018. So that's the first thing that we need to see. Jesus is willing to be part of our reality. Secondly, Jesus will also challenge our reality. What do I mean by that? He always challenged the status quo. That's why he had so many problems with the religious leaders and the government and the circles in which he traveled, because he always challenged the status quo. He was always saying that things could be better. And when he is at the center of our lives, we will begin to say the same thing. We will begin to say, can our marriages be better? Can our home life be better? Can our attitudes be better? And the answer to all those questions and a list of 1,000 others is absolutely yes. Our lives can be better if we make Jesus a part of our lives. And so in our text this morning, Jesus sought to improve an awkward situation. He challenged the notion that things would always remain the same, and things don't always have to remain the same. You see, the custom in Jesus' day, and I would suggest probably even today, is you served your best wine first. And then when everybody was feeling a little tipsy, I know Methodists don't do that. When people are starting to not realize and they're out on the dance floor and they're having a good time and they don't care if you bring Ripple. I don't even know if they still make Ripple. It's a cheap wine. Jesus turns that water into the finest vintage wine that you could possibly ever produce. And it's given out to the people. And the master of the banquet is shocked. He says, "What's going on?" Usually you give your best wine first and then your less vintage wines later when people don't realize it. Ordinary water transformed into something better because Jesus is a miracle worker. Do we challenge our reality enough to do what needs to be done by using what we have right now? Not dreaming about what we're going to have 10 years down the road if we just save enough money, if we just get a better promotion on our job, if I just get another degree in college. No, no. Can we bring to Jesus what we have right now? He wants to work with what we could bring him now, our water, whatever it is. And it makes no difference how educated you are, how poor or wealthy you are, how skilled or unskilled you are, there's plenty of water in our lives to bring to the banquet. So there's an image of Jesus changing that water into wine. But so often we spend time in our lives running from our reality rather than facing our reality. And by doing so, we fail to invite Christ into our reality to do something miraculous. Have you ever had a miracle happen in your life? I have. And I could tell you it's as real as the nose on my face, and my wife tells me it's pretty big. We run around everywhere trying to transform that water on our own, and we can't do it. And the only one who can make that difference is Christ himself. You know, the great author, Jack London, there's a quote up there. He wrote Call of the Wild. He said, "I would rather be ashes than dust. I would rather have my spark burn out in a brilliant blaze than be stifled by dry rot. I would rather be a superb meteor, every atom and molecule of me aglow, than a sleepy and persevering planet. The proper function of man and woman is to live, not merely exist." Did you hear that? Don't just merely exist. God has so much more for you and for me He wants us to be ablaze with joy and hope and to be able to share that with others. You see, living moves from existence to real living when Jesus challenges our reality even as he becomes part of that reality. Every day we should ask these questions and similar questions. What can I do right now for and with Jesus? How can things be better? What role can I play in making life better for me and others around me? What can we do as a church? What ordinary things can I do in ordinary places that become extraordinary with the power of Christ in my life? What can I do with you, Jesus, today that I couldn't do on my own and by myself? There are all risky questions that I just presented, but they're real, and the risk is worth it. So we see Jesus is willing to be part of our reality. He's willing to challenge our reality and expand it. He works with the ordinary supply of water that we bring him, and he challenges it, and he expands it. Friends, Jesus is still in the business of performing miracles. I know there are some theologians that said the days of miracles died when the last apostle died, and that is heresy and nonsense. Miracles are happening every day because of Jesus Christ. He's still in the business of leading us beside the still waters when our lives are out of control and chaotic, and we don't know where to turn next. He's still in that business. He's still in the business of comforting us and restoring us when we've been broken down by life. And it seems like we can't take on one more thing, for we will collapse from the weight of it. He does it quietly, but he still does it in miraculous ways. That's what you need to remember during this season of Lent. Jesus wishes for us to advance in our lives in positive ways. He doesn't want us to just mark spiritual time. Does anybody know what marking time is? Who's in the military? Oh my goodness. Woo! If you were marching in the army, I could still hear my drill instructor. If you were marching and all of a sudden the sergeant would say, "Mark time, march!" You would keep moving, but you wouldn't go anywhere. It would look something like that. You're in the same spot, but your feet are going up and down in cadence, according to the drill sergeant, but you're not going anywhere. And Jesus is saying to us this morning, don't mark time in your spiritual lives. Don't stay in one place. Don't get stuck. Give it all over to Jesus, and he will help you move forward so that you're marching forward into your destiny, because Jeremiah 29:11 says, God has a plan and a destiny for you and a plan and a destiny for me. We mustn't find ourselves marking spiritual time. Could you imagine the researchers in medicine if they stopped with what they had and what they had only? We would have no cure of tuberculosis, which killed my grandfather, by the way, at the age of 41. They institutionalized you back then when you had TB. They ripped you away from your family, which he was ripped away from his family. There was no cure, but there's a cure today. We would still have smallpox and many other diseases that we have found cures for because people were willing to accept the challenge, do the research, and go outside their comfort zones to find a remedy to get rid of these diseases and treat them. So, that really should say expanding. That was my typo, I'm sorry. But I don't think there's a word expanding, but it's expanding. Our reality requires vision. The Bible says without a vision, the people perish. Vision. That's what we must grasp as we enter this Lenten season. Do what we can with what we have, but also look ahead and envision and vision and dream with the Lord. Don't look at where you are in life now. Look where God wants you to be. We shouldn't just focus our attention where we are as a church today. You know, I thank God for this. When I first came here, and it has nothing to do with me, I promise you that. It has all to do with Christ. So this isn't an attaboy on my back. I've seen a tremendous change in the number of people attending church, the number of people involved, the joy that we have as a congregation. It's a beautiful thing to see. That's because we invited Christ into our reality. And he took over. And I thank God for that, because if it was up to me, this place would be empty. It's because of him. The great French writer, Marcel Proust, he says, "The real voyage of discovery consists not in seeking new lands, but in seeing with new eyes." We need to see with new eyes during this Lenten season the miracle Jesus can do by expanding and challenging our reality where we are right now. Challenging us, stretching us, expanding us, using us. The real question is, are we allowing ourselves to be used by God to the fullest? Are we opening our lives to allow Jesus to work in us and through us? Are we giving him our present reality in order to make changes? You know, the church right now is faced with the reality of fixing that back wall. We're putting in for grants and loans, and we're trying all different things. But I want to tell you, in the end, Jesus will give us that victory. We will get this done, because all we want to do is honor God through this ministry. And as long as we're honoring him, we'll get it done. And so I want to pause here for a moment. How many know that this month we're celebrating Black History Month? Yeah. It's an important time in our history. So much of history was never reported when I was growing up. That includes this very topic. We all know Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You know, I cannot help but think of him as a man with a vision, coupled with his love of Christ. You see, what most secular reporting and TV news anchors and so, they always call him Dr. Martin Luther King. But don't ever forget, he was the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. His first call, his most major call, he would have told you, was being a pastor and putting Christ at the center of his life. Yes, he was an academic. He had a PhD. Yes, he was a scholar. He was an activist. He was a dreamer. He was all those things. But he was the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And he said, "I have a dream. I have a dream," he would say. And for literally tens, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions, his dream became a reality. He gave God the glory, and he put his full faith in Jesus Christ. Read his writings. I know the secular press likes to leave that portion out. They make a big mistake. At the core of his life was Jesus Christ. He was able, with the Lord's help, to expand his reality and expand the reality of millions of others. And we're grateful for that. So I want to end with a story. Do you believe?
I believe.
We got one believer in church today.
I believe, and I got a big mouth.
He's a believer with a big mouth for Christ. Amen, Bob. I want to end with a story. There was a drought, a severe drought in Texas, southwest Texas. One of the major pastors of that town called for a prayer meeting that night, and he invited the entire town to come to that prayer meeting. Almost the entire town showed up. The pastor stood up, he looked around, and he said, "Let's all go home." Somebody yelled out, "Why?" He said, "Nobody brought an umbrella. No one came expecting that we're going to get rain. So let's all go home." Praying without expectation is insanity. Why would we pray if we don't believe that a miraculous Jesus who could turn water into wine, who could walk on water, who could heal the blind, the sick, the lame, raise the dead, who can do all those things, why would we even pray if we don't believe that he can answer that prayer? Do we want a Savior who's real, friends? The realest one you'll ever get is Jesus Christ. But it's risky. It's risky. He will challenge us right now, this minute, right in the middle of our lives today. He'll challenge us. And he will expand our reality beyond our wildest expectations if we allow him to do so. Friends, I too have a dream. I have a dream for our lives and the life of this church. It is truly incredible what is just beyond the reach from our comfort zones if we just get outside of ourselves and our comfort zones. But we need to take a risk to let Jesus reign in our lives completely and watch the mighty works that he will do. And don't forget to bring your umbrella if you're going to pray for rain. That's faith. Faith in the one who could truly make a change for the better in your life and in mine and in the life of this crazy world in which we live. Amen.